But I need something to tie that in.
Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. Is that what you're wanting? John 1:14.
1:14. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to.
John 1:1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And you're going down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So there you know who. Mm-hmm.
That's why I was trying to get tied in there, but I didn't. Couldn't find how I wanted to get it tied in.
John, actually you need John 1:1-3.
Third verse where he says, nothing was made without him.
Verse 2. All things, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made. Repeated. Second verse is the same was in the beginning with God. And then the third verse, you're right.
And then again, you go to 14, and so
that he's
met with
work
and flesh.
And if you want a thorough, more detailed of it, goes down verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Don't ever let anyone tell you that he made them sons of God. He gave them power, or opportunity, or authority to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
That's what I believe on his name, and that's all
necessary. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, old Baptist.
you got to agree with him. You can't contradict him. But if a man would make that statement here, why, I would just accept it as a statement and go on from there. I wouldn't attempt to remove that from his mind. We're going to get over what counts, what the scriptures mean when they say believing on his name. It means more than the mental asset of the mind. I think you could tie that in there, Marv. I believe you understand how, and then you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, where the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. I just noticed, Marv, here in this 27th verse, says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. What does that mean in the image? Is God, you know, does he got an image like you and I have?
No. Sorry, I said. When God created man and woman, he created man out of the dust of the earth, and after he created him, he breathed into him life, or breathed into him spirit. Now, spirit is something that will last from the beginning through, or to eternity, or through eternity, because as we'll get into as we get into the study of Adam there, that even It's been thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago that Adam died. Still, his spirit is just as much alive today as if he were living. But as you know, our bodies deteriorate and decay, and as God says here, that he created man from the dust of the earth, and then to the dust he's to return after he dies. But his spirit will live on forever. In the third chapter here, all right, see, no, we're getting ahead of ourselves there again. After God created man, he saw that there wasn't a suitable helpmate or helpmeet, as the Bible calls it, out of the creatures that had been created that was suitable for man. So he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he took a rib out of Adam and made woman from the rib of man, so that he would have a companion that would be worthy help. That's not what I'm no, it would be suitable helper for man. And then he made the Garden of Eden, where the Adam and Eve were to tend the garden, and they actually had a life of that couldn't be a life in a utopian place there, because there wasn't any sickness, there wasn't any death, there wasn't any unhappiness, and it was an ideal place. But Satan, in the form of a serpent, he tempted Eve, because God had put in the Garden of Eden all types of fruits and trees, and there was this one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the way it's,
yeah,
that he told them that they could eat of every tree with the exception of this tree, and then if they did partake of this, that they would surely die. But old Satan, he kind of slithered up to Eve and beguiled her and told her that she surely wouldn't die if she ate of it. And she looked at the fruit and the tree and saw that it was pleasing to the eye and was pleasing to the taste. So she partook of it, and she took it over and gave some to Adam. And up until that time, that they were naked, but they were innocent of the fact that they were naked, because they knew nothing of good and evil, and they were just like a baby. They didn't, you see a baby running around, they, as far as they're concerned, they don't care whether they have any clothes on or not. And that was the same state that Adam and Eve were in at the time. But after they partook of the fruit, they saw that they were naked and they were ashamed, so they clothed themselves with fig leaves. Well, God talked with Adam and Eve in that time, and so in the evening he came and was looking for them, and he called out to them and find out where they were. And so they said that we hid ourselves because we were naked. And he asked them, to paraphrase, well, how come that you know you're naked? Have you partaken of this tree that I forbade you to take of? And Adam says, well, this woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit. And he was passing the buck to her, and she said, well, said Satan tempted me, or Satan said that, or the serpent said that I wouldn't die. And so God saw then that they had partaken of it. And previously though, he had foreseen that mankind would fall. So he had made his first prophecy that there would be a savior come, and but Adam and Eve didn't or probably wouldn't know what he meant by it when he said that he would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise the heel. But now that we have the complete Word of God, we know that